In a logo, our view glides across water, then up the skyline of Manhattan. The lights of the city twinkle, then dissolve into a title, Miramax Home Entertainment. In another logo, our view glides across water, then up the skyline of Manhattan. The lights of the city twinkle, then dissolve into a title, Miramax Films. Now our view closes in on a woman's wide blue eye and glides toward the deep black of her pupil. In the iris, a ring of lights flickers in the outline of a sea. A title appears, spelled out in strings of lights. Chicago.
5678.
Now crystal chandeliers line the ceiling of a club packed with people. A band plays on a stage. In the audience, couples sit at cocktail tables and mingle in a crowded hall, drinks in hand. Blue light shines down over the musicians. Trails of smoke cloud the air around them. Backstage, a short, balding stage manager puffs on a cigarette as he pushes his way past performers and crew.
Anybody seen the Kelly sisters?
He gives a quick glance around, then stalks toward a performer.
You're up in five.
The man nods and the stage manager walks on. On the street, a woman in high heels steps out of a cab.
Keep the change, Joe.
She strides quickly over the damp, slushy sidewalk toward an alley. Posters line the alley wall near a door advertising Velma and Veronica themselves. The woman tears a poster in half, leaving only the word Velma. As the stage manager hurries through a dressing room, the woman opens the stage door and steps inside, a purple velvet cape on her shoulders.
Now, where you been? Where's Veronica?
She's not herself tonight.
But they paid to see your sister act!
Don't sweat it, I can do it alone.
Velma slams her dressing room door. Inside, she hoists a suitcase onto a stool, then flips open the latches. She rifles frantically through the case and pulls out a pistol wrapped in a bloody cloth. Holding the gun in both hands, she looks around. She buries the pistol in a drawer full of lingerie, then kicks the drawer shut and washes the blood from her hands. Now she slides a garter with a rhinestone buckle over her stockinged leg, then shimmies out of a lace slip and throws on a beaded black dress. As the band plays on stage, Velma hurries down a steep staircase.
Move it, hurry up! You're killing me here!
She pulls up her arm-length gloves.
Ladies and gentlemen!
Velma hurries onto a lift.
The Onyx Club is proud to present Chicago's hottest dancing duo. Two jazz babes moving as one. The Kelly Sisters!
The lift raises Velma onto the stage. Scantily clad dancers pose in the shadows. At the piano, the band leader glances up at Velma, then over at an empty spotlight. Velma stands frozen. A light comes up.
Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz, I'm gonna rouge my knees and roll my stockings down.
She nods for the second spotlight.
And all that jazz, start the car. I know a whoopee spot where the gin is cold, but the piano's hot. It's just a noisy hall where there's a nightly brawl. And all that jazz.
Skidoo.
And all that jazz. Whoopee. And all that jazz.
The dancers snap into poses. Velma slides down against the piano, light glimmering off her dark bobbed hair. In the audience, a woman with a wavy blonde bob watches the show, her wide blue eyes fixed on Velma.
Slick your hair and wear your buckle shoes. And all that jazz, I hear that Father Dipper is gonna blow the blues. And all that jazz. Hold on, hon, we're gonna bunny hug. I bought some aspirin down at United Drug. In case you shake up hard and want a brand new start to do.
The blonde imagines herself on stage.
Jazz!
Let's go, babe.
Startled, she turns.
But I didn't even meet your friend, that manager guy.
Don't worry, Roxy. It's all taken care of.
told him about me.
Yeah, kid. It's all arranged.
They leave together.
Find a flask. We're playing fast and loose. And all that jazz right up here is where I store the juice. Jazz. Oh, you're gonna see your sheba shimmy shake and all that jazz. Oh, she's gonna shimmy till her garters break and all that jazz. Oh, I wear the Parker girdle. Oh, her mother's last curdle.
Did she hear her baby squeal?
For all that. Yes.
Now Roxy and the man kiss against a door. It swings open.
Hello, Miss Brucewitz.
Mrs. Hart.
This is Fred. He's my brother.
Oh, that. Yes.
Roxy pulls Fred into her apartment, casting a worried glance back at the hall.
Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz. I'm gonna rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. And all that jazz. Start the car. I know what the beat is. Where Virginia's cold, but the Vienna's hot. It's just a noisy hall that the nightly ball. And all that.
Say it again, Fred.
You're a star, kid. My little shooting star.
Roxy grabs the headboard.
No, I'm no one's wife, but oh, I love my life and all that.
At the club, police eye Velma.
Yeah, that jazz.
Now at Roxy's apartment.
Again, Fred.
He pulls away. Fred slides off and sits on the edge of the mattress. Roxy sits up behind him.
Where's the fire, huh? Amos ain't home till midnight.
Fred walks to the bathroom.
Freddy?
He glances back at Roxy as he stands at the toilet.
Fred?
Roxy reaches over and turns on a lamp.
Hey, you know, I don't want you to feel like I'm nagging at you or anything, but don't you think it's about time that I met your friend down at the Onyx?
She cranks a phonograph.
I mean, it's been a month since you told him about me.
Roxy grabs a robe and puts it on.
I know, because that was the night Velma Kelly plugged her husband and her sister. You know, they say that she found them in a kip together? Gosh, if I ever found Amos slipping it to somebody else, boy, I'd throw him a party. Great big going away party.
It's getting late.
I have been thinking a lot about my act up. Whenever I get a really good idea, I write it down in my diary before it goes out of my head. And you know what occurred to me the other day? That all the really, really knockout acts have, you know, something a little different going on, you know? Like a signature bit. And I thought that my thing could be aloof, you know? Give them just enough to get them good and hungry. But always leave them wanting more.
Fred shoulders past her.
Hey, and once I get a name for myself, well, maybe we could open up a club of our own, you know? You could run it, and I could be the headliner.
He pushes her.
What's the idea?
Wake up, kiddo. You ain't never gonna have an act.
Says who?
Face it, Lexi. You're a two-bit talent with skinny legs. Well, I'm just a furniture salesman.
Yeah, but you got connections, you know? The guy down at the club.
There is no guy.
Yeah, that night.
It was the first time I set foot in that joint. I was collecting on a bet from the trombone player.
So you never told anyone about me?
Sugar, you were hot stuff. I would have said anything to get a piece of that.
He grabs her, then walks away.
And now?
We had some laughs. Let's just leave it at that.
You can't do this to me.
You can't!
Fred shoves Roxy hard against a wall. She falls to the floor, her mouth open.
You touch me again, I'll put your lights out.
Wait.
Your husband will be home soon. Why don't you wash yourself before you go hitting those sheets again?
You liar, Fred.
Oh, yeah, so what?
You lied to me.
That's life, sweetheart. That's life.
Roxy fumbles with a drawer. She aims a gun at Fred. He falls to the floor of the doorway. Roxy stares at the body.
Son of a bitch!
Roxy's face crumbles tearfully, and then she gapes, catching her reflection in a mirror. Later.
Why are you bothering, Sal? This one's all wrapped up. I hear it's a new city record. From killing to confession in an hour flat.
Where did you get the murder weapon?
I keep a gun in the underwear drawer.
Roxy stands behind her husband, her head down.
Well, that's just fine. Sign right there, Mr. Hart.
Freely and gladly. Freely and gladly.
And mind you don't say we beat it out of you when you get up on the witness stand.
No, I gave myself up. Surrendered to my own free will.
Isn't he the cheerful murderer?
Shooting a burglar ain't murder. Just last week, a jury thanked a man.
I'm always grateful for citizens who know the law. Get in there.
Assistant D.A. Harrison gives Amos a push, then Roxy. They step gingerly over the body.
Sit down.
Amos sits on the bed. Roxy stands in the corner.
Okay. From the top.
Harrison shines a flashlight.
Well, a man's got a right to protect his home and his loved ones, right?
Of course he has.
Well, I come home from the garage, and I see him climbing through the window.
Uh-huh.
With my wife, Roxy, laying there, sleeping like an angel.
That true, Mrs. Hart?
He shines the light on Roxy.
That's honest truth. My wife had nothing to do with it. She wouldn't hurt a worm, not even a worm. It wasn't until I fired the first shot she even opened her eyes. Boy, she's some heavy sleeper. I always said she could sleep to the St. Patty's Day parade. When I think of what would have happened if I went out for a beer with the guys instead of coming straight home, it makes you sick even thinking about it.
I guess for her first number, Miss Roxy Hart would like to sing a song of love and devotion. Dedicated to her dear husband, Amos.
On a dark stage, a spotlight shines on Roxy.
Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, but he doesn't care. He'll string along. He loves me so, that funny honey of mine. Sometimes I'm up, but he follows round like some droopy eye pup. He loves me so, that funny honey of mine.
Like I said, even after I shot him, he kept coming at me, so I had to pull the trigger again.
He ain't no chic, that's no great physique, and Lord knows he ain't got the smarts. But look at that soul, I tell you that hole is a whole lot greater than the sum of his parts. And if you know him like me, I know you'd agree. What if the world slandered my name? He'd be right there, taking the blame. He loves me so, and it all suits me fine. That funny, sunny, honey, hobby of mine.
Just supposing he had violated her or something. You know what I mean? Violated?
I know what you mean.
Or something. Think how terrible that would have been. It's a good thing I got home from work on time. I'm telling you that.
He loves me so.
I say I'm telling you that.
Funny honey of mine.
Name of deceased Fred Casely.
Fred Casely? How could he be a burglar? My wife knows him. He sold us our furniture. He gave us 10% off.
Lord knows he ain't got the smarts.
He told me he was a burglar.
You mean he was dead when you got home?
She had him covered in a sheet, and she's telling me some cock and bull story about this burglar and how I ought to say I did it because I was sure to get off. Help me, Amos, she says. It's my goddamn hour.
Now he shut off his trap. I can't stand that sound.
Look at him go.
That cheap little tramp.
On me.
With two timing me, huh?
One more brain. What a half would be.
Boy, I'm down at the garage working my butt off 14 hours a day, and she's up here munching on bonbons and tramping around like some goddamn floozy. Thought you could fool the wool in my eyes, well, I wasn't born yesterday.
Crummy.
I tell you, there's some things a man just can't take, and this time she pushed me too far. Now,
Roxy turns to Harrison.
Look, it's true. I shot him, but it was self-defense. He was trying to burgle me.
From what I hear, he's been burgling you three times a week for the last month. So what do you say, Mrs.?
The neighbor.
That's him, all right.
Thank you. Your story doesn't wash, Mrs. Hart. So try this on for size. Fred Casely was a good time on the side with Goofy here as a meal ticket.
Meal ticket? He could buy my liquor.
And Fred Casely could? With a wife and five little Caseleys? Or did he forget to mention them?
He flips through photos in Fred's wallet.
What?
All his.
Oh, that bastard! That bastard! I killed him and I would kill him again!
Once was enough, dearie. Take her downtown. Come on!
Amos watches as they take Roxy away. Outside, a car pulls up to the apartment building and a photographer runs out.
This way, honey. Oh, come on. It's a shame to hide such a beautiful face.
Why'd you shoot him, hon? Why don't you give us a profile with a little smile like the girl from the toothpaste ad?
Now, right while you can. Take this down. Assistant District Attorney Harrison says this is a hanging case.
Hanging.
I'm ready to go to the jury tomorrow.
What do you mean hanging?
Not so tough anymore, are you? Take her down to the Cook County Jail.
Come on, squeeze me a headline. Why'd you shoot him? Was he cruel to you? Did he beat you? Was he
give me one
around?
What do you mean hanging?
Roxy stares out the grated back window of a police wagon as it pulls away. The reporter and photographer run after her. Later, the wagon pulls into the prison yard through a gate in a tall stone wall. People walk past on the snow-piled street. Now Roxy stands in a cell.
Morphine, opium, cocaine.
She shakes her head.
Arm length, 31 inches.
She stands naked against a wall. Later, inmates file into a holding room.
The matron's on her way, so don't get too cozy.
Roxy finds a seat.
Put out that cigarette.
The woman with a cigarette turns to Roxy.
Ever had Morton before?
Roxy looks over at the woman, then shakes her head.
She's fine. Long as you keep her happy.
She rubs her fingers together.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the keeper of the keys, the countess of the clink, the mistress of Murderer's Row, Matron Mama Morton!
The door opens and a bright light envelops the matron. On a stage, she holds a large white feather fan against her ample bosom.
Ask any of the chickies in my pen. They'll tell you I'm the biggest mother hen. I love them all and all of them love me. Because the system works, the system called reciprocity.
She flaps her fan.
On your feet.
Mama enters the holding room.
Welcome, ladies. Got a little motto. Always sees me through. When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
You might think I'm here to make your life a living hell. It's just not true.
There's a lot of favors I'm prepared to do. You do one for mama, she'll do one for you.
Like be your friend if you let me. So if there's something that upsets you or makes you unhappy in any way, don't shoot your fat ass mouth off to me, because I don't give a shit. Now move it out.
They say that life is tit for tat, and that's the way I live. So I deserve a lot of tat for what I've got to give. Don't you know that this hand washes that one too? When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
Mama struts across the stage.
Let's go!
She stops Roxy at the door.
You must be hard.
treat you the pretty one.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, no, call me mama. I'm here to take care of you. Now, you'll be habitating down in the East Block. Murderous Row, we call it.
Oh, is that nicer?
Mama shoots the guard a look. Backstage, she sneaks a puff on a cigarette, then dances behind a screen, her shadow moving across the stage.
You know, I don't think I really belong in here. I didn't actually do anything wrong.
I don't need to tell me, honey. I ain't never heard of a man getting killed when he didn't get just what was coming to him.
Hey, Mama! Come here.
Velma Kelly? You were the Velma Kelly. You know, I was there that night. I was there the night that you got arrested.
Yeah, you and half of Chicago. Look at this, Mama. An editorial denouncing me in Red Book magazine. Not in memory do we recall so fiendish and horrible a double homicide.
Baby, you couldn't buy that kind of publicity.
Couldn't buy it?
Velma takes a wad of bills from her stocking.
I guess I can keep this then. Nice try.
Mama takes the cash.
If you want my gravy, pepper my ragu, spice it up for Mama, she'll get hot for you.
Roxy follows Mama up a winding metal staircase.
When they pass that basket, folks contribute too. You put in for Mama, she'll put out for you.
They walk on a grated metal catwalk, passing other inmates.
The folks atop the ladder are the ones the world adores. So boost me up my ladder, kid, and I'll boost you up yours. Let's all stroke together like the Princeton crew. When you're stroking Mama, Mama's stroking you.
So what's the one conclusion I could bring this number two?
When you're good to Mama,
they shut Roxy into her cell.
Mama, it's kind of freezing in here. You don't think maybe there's something wrong with the heat? Not that I'm complaining, mind you, but you know, if you got a couple extra blankets tucked away.
Mama eyes Roxy as she walks away.
Lights out, ladies.
The lights in the cells go out, and a guard turns two wheels, locking clamps on the steel cell doors. Facing the black bars, Roxy's eyes fill with tears. She turns to look at the tiny cell.
Okay.
Roxy steps into the darkness of the cell, clutching a blanket and a sheet.
Okay.
Later, Roxy sleeps, her hands resting together. Her eyes open and she watches as a drip escapes from the faucet. Dim light accents her features as she lies curled up on the metal cot. Roxy turns to listen as a guard walks along the catwalk. An inmate drums her fingers against the bars.
Cicero.
Lipschitz.
Roxy looks up as her cell door slides open.
And now, the six merry murderesses of the Cook County Jail in their rendition of the Cell Block Tango.
Lipschitz.
Outside Roxy's cell, a spotlight illuminates a chair and table.
Cicero.
Lipschitz.
Pop. Six. Squish. Cicero.
Lipschitz.
Pop.
Six.
Squish.
Cicero.
Lipschitz.
Pop.
Six.
Squish.
Cicero.
Lipschitz.
He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame. If you'd have been there,
Bullshits.
Sis.
Squish.
Cicero.
You know how people have these little habits that get you down? Like Bernie. Bernie liked to chew gum. No, not chew. Pop. So I came home this one day and I'm really irritated and I'm looking for a little bit of sympathy. And there's Bernie lying on the couch, drinking a beer and chewing. No, not chewing. Popping! So I said to him, I said, you pop that gum one more time. And he did. So I took the shotgun off the wall and I fired two warning shots into his head.
He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame. If you'd have been there, if you'd have heard it, I betcha you would have done the same.
Bars slide to the ground and a red-headed inmate joins a man on the dance floor.
I met Ezekiel Young from Salt Lake City about 2 years ago, and he told me he was single, and we hit it off right away.
So we started living together. He'd go to work, he'd come home, I'd fix him a drink, we'd have dinner.
And then I found out. Single, he told me. Single my ass. Not only was he married, oh no, he had 6 wives. One of those Mormons, you know? So that night when he came home from work, I fixed him his drink, as usual.
She holds a red scarf in her teeth.
You know, some guys just can't hold their arsenic.
He had it coming. Pop, he had it coming. Cicero, he took a vow. Pop, six, in it, six, and then he used it. And then he abused it. It was a murder. A murder. Cicero,
now I'm standing in the kitchen, carving up the chicken for dinner, minding my own business. In storms my husband Wilbur in a jealous rage. You've been screwing the milkman, he says. He was crazy, and he kept on screaming, you've been screwing the milkman.
And then he ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times.
A long red scarf trails from her partner's waist.
If you'd have been there, if you'd have seen it, I bet you would have done the same.
Meet Kirashikeri. Ost moniako e hiroshlokum lefok tomoferin. In miglechip tomofei. Tenemegos. Inartotlom voyok. Nem tudom. Verdmonia uncle samhok indantam. Robolton. Arenda Schengen meg moja razni. Dinamer tatek meg.
Yeah, but did you do it?
Not guilty.
She waves a white scarf.
My sister Veronica and I had this double act, and my husband Charlie traveled around with us. Now, for the last number in our act, we did these 20 acrobatic tricks in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, splits, spread eagles, backflips, flip-flops, one right after the other. So this one night before the show, we're down at the Hotel Cicero. The three of us boozing, having a few laughs. And we run out of ice, so I go out to get some. I come back. Open the door, and there's Veronica and Charlie doing number 17, the spread eagle. Well, I was in such a state of shock, I completely blacked out. I can't remember a thing. It wasn't until later, when I was washing the blood off my hands, I even knew they were dead.
They had it coming.
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 It's more than I could possibly say. He was a real artistic guy. Sensitive. A painter. But he was always trying to find himself. He'd go out every night looking for himself, and on the way, he found Ruth, Gladys, Rosemary, and Irving. I guess you could say we broke up because of artistic differences. He saw himself as alive, and I saw him dead.
The dirty bum, bum, bum.
Dirty.
10 times.
Nervous equal Uncle
Number 17,
Sam.
The spread
artistic
eagle.
Artistic differences.
Pop. Six.
Squish. Cicero.
Lipschitz.
Now in a laundry room, the Hungarian inmate steams a lacy blue slip.
Who belongs to them?
What's it to you?
Nothing. Heard they were Velma.
Yeah, the Hanyak does all her laundry for a buck a week.
Roxy carries a metal tub to a table and puts it down. As she sorts through the sheets within, she turns back to look at Velma's lacy garments. Later, she wheels a cart through a hall.
Fresh towels for the can.
Make it quick.
The guard unlocks the bathroom door. Roxy carries a pile of towels inside, then shuts the door behind her. Looking up, she moves to the medicine cabinet and positions the mirror so that she can see into the next room.
Mama is going to put you back on the vaudeville circuit.
So now you're an agent, too?
Well, dearie, until Ma Bell installs a private line in your cell, all the calls are got to go through me.
What kind of dough are we talking about?
You know, it's a crazy world. I mean, Babe Ruth is wearing rouge and playing a palace for $5,000 a week.
Yeah, and what about someone with real talent?
Well, I've been talking to the boys over at William Morris. And due to your recent sensational activities, they seem to think they can get you $2,500.
$2,500? Geez, the most me and Veronica made was $350.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have the right representation.
You know what, Mama? I always wanted to play Big Jim Colosimos. Do you think you can get me that?
Big Jim's?
Yeah.
Geez, I don't know. It's going to take another phone call.
You know how much is that going to cost?
Oh, come on, Belle. How do I feel about you? You're like family to me. You're like one of my own.
Yeah.
I'll do it for $50.
$50 for a phone call? You must get a lot of wrong numbers, Mama.
Velma walks out. Roxy throws the dirty towels back on the rack, then runs out to the hall.
Oh, Miss Kelly. Got your personals. Freshly pressed by yours truly. Oh, no, it's my pleasure.
Velma brushes past her.
Hey, listen, can I ask you something? You know that Harrison guy? Well, he said that what I done is a hanging case and that he's prepared to ask for the maximum penalty.
Yeah, so?
So, I'm scared. And I sure would appreciate some advice. I mean, especially from someone I admire as much as you. See, since I can remember, I have wanted to be on the stage.
Really? What's your talent? Washing and drying?
No. I danced in the chorus.
Oh.
Well, that was before I met my husband, Amos.
Look, honey, you want some advice? Here it is, direct from me to you. Keep your paws off my underwear, okay?
Velma walks away.
Yeah, okay.
Mama steps out into the hall.
Thanks.
For nothing.
She's something, ain't she? I tell you, no matter how big she gets, she's still as common as ever. I'd like to help you, dearie.
Mama motions Roxy into her office.
We'll take a load off.
The guard shuts the door behind them.
So, what do you figure on using for grounds?
Grounds.
What are you going to tell the jury?
I just figured I'd tell them the truth.
The truth?
Huh?
That's a one-way ticket to the death house.
Holy mother of God.
Oh, relax. I mean, in this town, murder's a form of entertainment. Besides, in 47 years, Cook County ain't never hung a woman yet. So the odds are 47-1 that they won't hang you.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
You're talking to the wrong people. What you need is Billy Flynn.
Who?
Billy Flynn. He's only the best criminal lawyer in all of Illinois. Tell you what he don't know about juries and women.
How do you get this, Billy Flynn?
Well, not by praying, dearie. First, you give me $100. Then I'll make a phone call.
$100? Well, you just... I mean, it seems pretty steep for a phone call.
Oh, but he's worth every cent. I mean, he's never lost a case for a female client yet. With a sweet little puss like yours, well... Let's just say justice ain't so blind in Chicago.
He's never lost a case?
Never. Every girl in this place would kill to have Billy Flynn represent him.
Billy, we want Billy.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the silver-tongued prince of the courtroom, the one, the only, Billy Flynn!
Dressed as a shoeshine, Billy catches a coin and steps down a staircase lined with chorus girls.
I don't care about expensive things. Cashmere coats, diamond rings don't mean a thing. All I care about is love.
That's what I'm here for.
I don't care for wearing silk cravats, ruby studs, satin spats don't mean a thing. All I care about is love.
All he cares about is love.
Give me two eyes of blue, softly saying,
I need you.
Let me see her standing there, and honest mister, I'm a millionaire.
Wearing a mink-trimmed coat, Billy steps into a silver Rolls Royce. On stage, the chorus girls surround him, moving with him like the car.
I don't care for any fine attire Vanderbilt might admire. No, no, not me. All I care about is love.
Now Billy steps out of his car and into the jail.
Good morning, ladies.
You tell him, sweetheart.
The hunya grips the prison bars.
That's what he's here for.
Now Velma is surrounded by reporters.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Miss Kelly, do you remember anything at all about that night?
I passed out completely, Miss Sunshine. I can't remember a thing. Only that I didn't do it.
Any idea who did, dear?
No, but my client is offering a substantial reward to anyone with information about this crime.
How much is the reward, Miss Kelly?
I don't know. How much?
I'll work it out after the trial. After no more questions, Miss Kelly and I have a lot of work to do.
Velma follows Billy out of the visitation cell.
What's all this about a reward?
Awfully dumb reporters. They'll write it up wrong and deny the whole thing later on.
Thank you!
More questions, please!
All he cares about is love!
Miss Flynn, I'm Roxy. Hart.
Who?
Mom talked to you about me.
Oh, yeah, right. The cute one.
Oh, well, I was hoping that you might represent me.
You got $5,000?
Gee, that's a lot of money.
Mm.
Mama didn't say anything about $5,000.
Yeah.
Look, Mr. Flynn. Mm-hmm. Not very good at this sort of thing, but, maybe we could make some sort of arrangement between us. You know, I could be an awfully good sport.
Good, you got that out of your system. Now listen, you mean just one thing to me. You call me when you got $5,000.
All he cares about is love.
Show me long raven hair flowing down about to there. When I see her running free, your money, that's enough for me.
On stage, Billy strips down to his boxer shorts.
I don't care for driving Packard cars or smoking long fuck cigars. No, no, not me. All I care about is doing a guy in. He's picking on you, twisting the wrist that's turning the screw.
He throws his shirt.
All I care about is love.
He rips off his boxers. Now, in a wood-paneled waiting room, Amos slouches in a leather chair.
Oh, he'll see you now.
The secretary opens the door to Billy's elegant office.
Well, hello, Andy.
Amos. My name is Amos.
That's right. Take a seat.
Billy sits at a desk, writing.
You know, you're a remarkable man.
Huh?
Your wife two times you, plugs the guy, and tries to pin it on you. Most men would let a dame like that swing, but no. You're sticking by her. Makes you a hero in my eyes.
That's right. I'm a hero.
Did you bring the money?
I didn't do as well as I hoped, but I will, Mr. Flint. I will.
Amos puts a wad of cash on the desk.
Oh, this is only $1,000.
Plus there's $300 I borrowed from the guys down at the garage. And then there's $700 from the building and loan fund.
$2,000.
And that's all I got so far. But I'll give you $20 off my salary every week. I'll give you notes with interest, double, triple, till every cent is paid, I promise.
When you came to me yesterday, I didn't ask if she was guilty. I didn't ask if she was innocent. I didn't ask if she was a drunk or a dope fiend. No!
All I said was, do you have $5,000? You said yes, but you don't have $5,000. So I figure you're a dirty liar, and I don't waste my time with dirty liars.
Billy swivels around in his blue velvet chair. Amos reaches for the cash.
Look, I'm real sorry, Mr. Flynn.
Billy stops him.
On the other hand, your devotion to your wife is really very, very touching. I took your wife's case, and I'll keep it. Because I play square.
He slides the money into a drawer.
Now look, Hart. I don't like to blow my own horn, but believe me, if Jesus Christ had lived in Chicago today and if he had $5,000 and he'd come to me, things would have turned out differently.
Billy's cheeks dimple.
All right, this is what we're gonna do. By the end of the week, I'm gonna have Roxy's name in the front page of every newspaper in town. Sweetest little jazz killer ever to hit Chicago. That's the angle I'm after. We make an announcement, we're gonna have an auction. Tell them we gotta raise some money for her defense. They'll buy everything she's ever touched.
Now
everything.
In jail.
Your shoes, your dresses, your perfume, your underwear.
Victrola records. Like the one I was playing when I shot the bastard.
I didn't hear that.
Not that I didn't have grounds, mind you. Hey, what are they?
That's for when we go to trial. Look, nobody is gonna care a lick what your defense is unless they care about you. So the first thing we gotta do is work up some sympathy from the press. And not all pushovers like Mary Sunshine. But there's one thing that they can never resist, and that is a reformed sinner. All right, so tell me, what was your favorite subject in school?
Oh, that was a real dummy.
Oh, come on, it must have been something you were really good at.
Oh, I got high marks on courtesy and hygiene.
Perfect. You wanted to be a nun.
A nun?
Where were you born?
On a chicken farm outside of Lubbock.
Beautiful southern home filled with every luxury and refinement. Were your parents now?
Probably on the front porch in their rocking chairs.
Parents dead. Family fortune swept away, you were educated at the Sacred Heart. Then you fell into a runaway marriage, left you miserable, alone, unhappy. And of course, you got all swept up in the mad whirl of the city. Jazz, cabarets, liquor. You were drawn like a moth to the flame.
Oh,
no. Now the mad whirl has ceased, and you are a butterfly. Crushed on the wheel.
Do what she says. Is it the moth or the butterfly?
You have sinned, and you are sorry.
God, that's beautiful.
Cut out God. Stay where you're better acquainted. Kid, when I'm through with you, not only will you be acquitted, every man in that jury will want to take you home to meet his mother.
In Mama's office.
I was born on the beautiful southern convent.
What?
Oh, holy shit. Oh, I'm never going to get this straight.
Pipe down to swearing. Look, from here on in, you say nothing rougher than old dear. I'll try again.
I was born on...
Now the jail cell doors slide open. Inmates step out onto the catwalk and line up. As Mama Morton walks by, Roxy slips her a $5 bill for a bottle of peroxide. Later in a lavatory, Roxy stands at a sink. She dabs peroxide onto her roots with a toothbrush and snips her hair. Blonde locks fall onto a glossy picture of a flapper sporting a sleek, wavy bob. In the common room, Billy paces as Velma perches on a table, her legs crossed.
So I came up with some more things to do on the witness stand. I thought I'd get all teary-eyed. Then ask to borrow your handkerchief. Then I thought I'd take a peek at the jury like this. Flash him a bit of thigh, huh? What do you think?
Sounds great.
Billy looks past her at Roxy, posing in a demure blue dress. Neat golden waves frame her face.
Hey, don't you want to hear the rest?
Tomorrow, kiddo. You're at the top of my list.
Billy saunters over to Roxy.
Well.
Sorry to be late, Mr. Flynn.
Uh-huh.
I hope you aren't too bored.
I like it.
Roxy bats her eyes at Velma.
I like it.
Later, Velma strolls past Roxy's cell.
Hey, Pollyanna. I heard your press conference is tomorrow.
Yeah, what's it to you?
Well, you wanted my advice, right? Well, here it is. Don't forget, Billy Flynn's number one client is Billy Flynn.
Meaning what?
Meaning, don't let him hog the spotlight. You're the one they pay to see.
Now inside the courthouse, Roxy and Billy head for the door.
Now remember, we can only sell him one idea at a time.
Yeah, I can still see him coming at me with that awful look in his eyes.
And
we both reach for the gun.
That's right, you both reach for the gun. Ready?
Yeah.
They stride through double doors and up to microphones set up under an arched portico. Reporters surge forward, snapping photographs.
Gentlemen, Miss Sunshine,
My client has just entered a plea of not guilty. We look forward to a trial at the earliest possible date. Now, are there any questions?
In front, Mary Sunshine raises a gloved hand.
Mary Sunshine.
As you know, my paper is dry. Do you have any advice for young girls seeking to avoid a life of jazz and drink?
Absolutely, yes. Mrs. Hart feels that it was the tragic combination of liquor and jazz which led to her downfall. Next question.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would just like to say how flattered I am that y'all came to see me.
Yes, Mrs. Hart is very pleased.
You see, I was a moth crushed on the wheel. You know, a butterfly drawn to the... I bet you want to know why I shot the bastard.
Shut up, dummy.
Now they're on stage.
Mr. Billy Flynn in the press conference, right? Notice how his mouth never moves. Almost.
Where'd you come from?
Mississippi.
And your parents?
Very wealthy.
Where are they now?
6 feet under.
But she was granted one more start.
The convent of the Sacred Heart.
Roxy sits on Billy's knee, mouthing his words like a dummy. Marionette strings move reporters' arms up and down.
When'd you get here?
1920.
How old were you?
Don't remember.
Then what happened?
I met Amos and he stole my heart away. Convinced me to elope one day.
Oh, you poor dear, I can't believe what you've been through. Convent girl, a runaway marriage. Now tell us, Roxy, who's Fred Casely?
My ex-boyfriend.
Why'd you shoot him?
I was leaving.
Was he angry?
Like a madman. Still, I said, Fred, move along.
She knew that she was doing wrong.
Then describe it.
He came toward me.
With a pistol.
From my bureau.
Did you fight him?
Like a tiger.
He had strength and she had none.
And yet we both reached for the gun. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, we both, oh yes, we both, oh yes, we both reached for the gun, the gun, the gun, the gun. Oh yes, we both reached for the gun, for the gun.
Understandable, understandable. Yes, it's perfectly understandable. Comprehensible, comprehensible. Not a bit reprehensible. It's so defensible.
How you feeling?
Very frightened.
Are you sorry? Are you kidding?
What's your statement?
All I say is, though my choo-choo jump the track, I'd give my life to bring him back.
And
stay away from
what?
Jazz and liquor.
And
the men who
what?
Play for fun.
And what?
That's the thought that
yeah.
came upon me
when
we both reached for the gun.
Mary Sunshine dances.
Understandable, understandable.
Yes, it's perfectly understandable. Comprehensible, comprehensible, not a bit reprehensible, it's so defensible.
Billy pulls the marionette strings.
Oh yes, they both reached for the
Let me hear it.
The gun. Oh yes, they both reach for the gun.
A little louder.
Oh yes, they both reach for the gun. Oh yes, they both reach for the gun.
There you got it.
Oh yes, they both reach for the gun.
Reached for the
gun.
Now a headline reads, Roxy rocks Chicago. A newsreel plays.
Move over, Al Capone. The Windy City has taken a new criminal to its heart. The name on everybody's lips is Roxy Hart, the sweetest little lady ever accused of murder in Chicago. Women want to look like her. Fellas want to go out with her. Some little girls even want to take her home. Don't get any ideas, little lady. On the other side of town, the assistant DA promises the game little sharpshooter will swing before the year is up.
He'll swing before the year is up.
Who knows? If he lives up to his word, assistant DA Harrison might become Governor Harrison someday. Back at the scene of the crime, everybody wants a little piece of Roxy Hart. This jar of cold cream sent her husband back $20. Maybe this pretty little lady will get some of that famous Roxy style. It seems everybody these days is rooting for Roxy Hart.
Now in Roxy's cell, Mama smells a rose bouquet.
Take those orphan flowers over to the orphanage and make sure they know who sent them. So, kiddo, given any thought to what you want to do after Billy gets you off?
Yeah, I think I'd like to go on the stage.
Yeah, I figured as much. I already called the Morris office.
Really? How much is that gonna cost me?
Well, standard deal. 10% of all your takings.
Yeah, well, we'll see, Mama. Besides, I don't even have an act yet.
Well, killing Fred Casely was your act. I mean, that's all those stiffs in the audience want, to say they saw somebody famous.
It's a freak act. Besides, I am better than that.
Well, of course you are, Cupcake. I mean, you can be as big as Sophie Tucker.
You really think so?
Bigger than Cantor and Jolson combined.
You know, I always wanted to have my name in all the papers. You know, before I met Amos, I used to date this well-to-do ugly bootlegger. He used to like to take me out and show me off. Ugly guys like to do that.
Now Roxy performs in a spotlight.
Once it said in the paper, Gangland's Al Capelli seen a Chez Vito with cute blonde Kareem. That was me. I clipped it and I saved it. You know, all my life, I wanted to have my own act. But no. Always no. They always turn me down. One big world full of no.
The fringe on her scant, silvery costume shimmers.
And then Amos came along. Safe, sweet Amos. Who never says no.
His angry face flashes by.
Oh, look at that. I've never done this before. But you know, it is such a special night, and you are such a great audience. And I really feel like I can talk to you, you know? So forget what you've read in the papers. And forget what you've heard on the radio, because I'm gonna tell you the truth. Not that the truth really matters.
Her press conference flashes by.
But I'm gonna tell you anyway.
Roxy crooks her index finger.
In the bed department? Amos was... zero. I mean, when he made love to me, it was like he was fixing a carburetor or something.
I love you, honey, I love you.
She pretends to turn knobs.
Anyway, I started fooling around. Then I started screwing around, which is fooling around without dinner. Then I met Fred Casely, who said that he could get me into vaudeville. But that didn't quite work out like I planned.
Fred shoves her.
I guess it didn't really work out too great for Fred either.
She shoots him.
So I gave up on the whole vaudeville idea, because you kind of figure after all those years, opportunities just passed you by. But it ain't. No, but it ain't. And now, well, if this Flynn guy gets involved with all this publicity, I got me a world full of yes!
The name on everybody's lips is gonna be Roxy. The lady raking in the chips is gonna be Roxy. I'm gonna be a celebrity, that means somebody everyone knows. They gonna recognize my eyes, my hair, my teeth, my boobs, my nose.
She runs her hands over her trim figure, mirrors reflect her.
From just some dumb mechanic's wife, I'm gonna be Roxy. Who says that murder's not an art? And who, in case she doesn't hang, can say she started with
hides her finger like a gun.
Roxy Hart.
Roxy swaggers across the stage, her hips swaying, her reflection swagger behind her. A dozen men in tuxedos strut forward. She beckons the men closer. They surround her as she takes slinky steps.
Boys.
They're gonna wait outside in line to get to see Roxy.
Think of those autographs I'll sign. Good luck to ya.
Roxy.
And I'll appear in a lavalier that goes all the way down to my waist.
The men lift her.
Here a ring, there a ring, everywhere a ring a ling.
But always in the best of taste.
She walks across their uplifted hands.
I'm a star, and the audience loves me, and I love them. And they love me for loving them, and I love them for loving me. And we love each other. And that's because none of us got enough love in our childhoods. And that's showbiz.
The men guide her in a backflip.
Kid.
She's given up her humdrum life.
I'm gonna be singing.
Roxy. She made a scandal and a star.
Glowing red letters spell Roxy.
Roxy Hart.
Roxy.
She perches on top of the neon sign.
Roxy.
Men sway in the red glow.
Roxy.
They reach toward her.
Roxy.
She blows a kiss.
Roxy.
She smiles in the spotlight.
Roxy.
The red sign rises, carrying Roxy up. She waves. Now Velma paces in Mama's office.
I just can't take it anymore. I can't go anywhere without hearing about that dumb tomato.
Mama wears her hair in a blonde, wavy bob.
Oh, no, Mama, not you too.
Mama pats her hair.
That's some bad news, kid. The tour's been canceled.
What?
Well, your name's been out of the papers too long. All you read about today is that Hart kid. She's hot.
And what am I supposed to do, huh? Suck up to her like everybody else?
That couldn't hurt.
Over my dead body. Mind if I join you?
In the common room, Roxy works in a scrapbook.
Lights out, 10 minutes.
Smoke?
Velma sits down.
Look what some Johnny sent me. Triple cream caramels all the way from San Francisco.
Oh, I'm watching my figure. You know, the trial.
Velma sets the candy aside.
Hey, great mention of you on the trip today, huh?
Now, there have been so many, I just can't keep track.
Hey, did I ever tell you, you are exactly the same size as my sister? I mean, you fit into her costumes perfectly.
Really?
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, with all the publicity that's piled up between us and when Billy gets us off, well, we'd be a natural to do an act together.
You think so, huh?
Now Velma stands up in the blue glow of a spotlight.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Velma Kelly in an act of desperation.
My sister and I had an act that couldn't flop. My sister and I were headed straight for the top. My sister and I earned a thou a week at least. Oh, yeah. But my sister is now unfortunately deceased. I know it's sad, of course, but a fact is still a fact. And now all that remains is the remains of a perfect double act. Watch this. Now you have to imagine it with two people. It's swell with two people. First, I'd.
Twisting, Velma kicks up one leg in a Charleston.
Then she.
She sidles across the floor.
Then we'd.
She pulses forward, tossing her head back.
But I can't do it alone. Then she'd.
She pushes out her arms and tap dances.
Then I'd...
Roxy rolls her eyes.
Then we'd...
Velma spins in circles. Her skirt fans out.
But I can't do it alone. She'd say, what's your sister like? I'd say, ma'am. She'd say, you're the cat's meow. Then we'd wow the crowd again when she'd go.
Velma's arms form sharp angles.
I'd go.
Her arms slither as her hips gyrate.
We'd go.
Her head snaps from side to side, then juts forward.
Then those ding-dong daddies started to roar. Whistle stomped, stamped on the floor. Yelling, screaming, begging for more. We'd say, okay, fellas, keep your socks up, 'cause you ain't seen nothing yet.
Wearing high-heeled black leather boots, Velma tap dances on top of the table. She finishes with a high kick.
But I simply cannot do it alone.
So what do you think? Come on, you can say.
Roxy curls her lip.
I know you're right. The first part, shit. But the second part.
The second part is really nifty. Okay. She'd go.
Leaning back as she balances on a chair, Velma opens her legs into a wide split.
I'd go.
Her legs scissor shut and she rolls off. One leg arcs over the chair in a fan kick.
We'd go.
She drags the chair, shimmies around it, then cartwheels over it. She dances her way up the stairs to the catwalk. Roxy glances up from her scrapbook.
And then those two-bit Johnnies did it up round to cheer the best. Attraction in town, they nearly tore the balcony down. And we say, okay, boys, we're going home. But before we go, here's a few more parting shots. And this we did in perfect unison.
In her finale, Velma takes running steps, swinging her arms. She climbs over the railing, slides down a pole, and skids on her belly across the table.
The part where you blew her brains out.
Okay, Roxy, I'll level with you.
Oh, no. Don't bother. You think you're fooling me? You're all washed up, and it's me they want now, and I'm a big star. Single. Oh, I almost forgot. You were in the paper today, too. In the back, with the obituaries. Velma Kelly's trial has been postponed indefinitely. 7 words. Wow.
Roxy walks away, then turns back.
Oh! And here's a little piece of advice. Direct from me to you. Lay out the caramels.
Velma's eyes glisten with tears. Now in a dark, smoky club, couples dance as the tuxedoed band leader stands at a microphone.
And now for all you Chicago stay-up-laters, you night owls who only come alive after dark, we dedicate this tune, Chicago After Midnight.
In her cell, Roxy writes in her diary. In an elegant restaurant, Billy holds a telephone.
Yeah, but this all took place in Lakeshore Drive. Incredible. All right, yeah, thanks, though.
He turns to his companions.
They just arrested this woman for triple homicide.
Really?
Yeah, get this. She's an heiress.
Yeah,
the family's in pineapples, grapefruit, some kind of fruit. So yeah, this dame, Kitty, what's her name, something. She's playing house on the north side in an apartment with a guy named Harry. Yeah, what Harry does for a living, no one's quite sure, but it doesn't really matter because she's footing all the bills. Anyhow, Kitty comes home tonight. Harry's already in bed, which is par for the course for Harry. She goes to change. When she returns, she notices something rather odd.
Two women lie beside him.
Extremely odd.
Kitty's brow furrows. She hurries to a bureau and gets a pistol out of a drawer.
Kitty disappears for a second, cool as a cucumber. When she returns, she gently wakes up Harry.
She pulls off the sheet.
Harry says, what? I'm alone. He said, alone? Well, you said you got two other women in bed with you. Forget this. Harry's. He says, come on, Tom. You gonna believe what you see or what I tell you?
She shoots Harry twice. She shoots one woman, then aims at the other. She pulls the trigger.
Good night, folks.
Now outside the jail, cameras flash in the rain. Policemen hustle Kitty through a crowd of reporters holding umbrellas. Billy follows.
Sunshine from the Evening Star. I wonder if you would mind saying a word or two. Sure, I'll say three. Gotta help!
Please direct your questions to a counsel.
Money back.
It's not your money. It's your mother's money.
Are you sorry, dear? Sure, I'm sorry. Sorry I got caught.
Inside the jail.
Oh, hey, Miss Sunshine.
Not now, Rob.
I got a letter from a guy. He says that he's going on a hunger strike until I'm free.
That's nice.
Miss Baxter, did you know these two ladies personally?
Did I know these two ladies personally? Was that your question?
Yeah, that's my question.
She kicks him.
She's very high-spirited, isn't she?
Miss Baxter! Oh, hey, Mr. Flynn! Mr. Flynn!
Yeah, hi, Trixie.
It's Roxy.
Yeah, sure, I was just kidding.
Hey, do you get my trial date yet?
Listen, kid.
Yeah, I'm at the top of your list, right?
What the hell are you, huh? Socialite, too. Her mother owns all the pineapples in Hawaii.
What the hell do I care about pineapples?
All right, listen, all right!
Billy follows Kitty.
Questions, and afterwards, I'll be happy to give the interview myself.
Billy!
Now, the glowing red lights in Roxy's name blink out.
How's it feel, kid?
Velma stands on the catwalk.
J. Edgar Hoover couldn't find your name in the papers.
The bars of the cell make shadowy stripes on Roxy's pale face. She collapses.
Mr. Flynn?
Someone open this door, immediately.
Oh, my God, Roxy! What is it to you?
Billy runs to her side.
No, don't worry about me. Oh, I only hope the fall didn't hurt the baby.
Baby?
Shit.
Cameras flash as Billy hugs Roxy. Velma stares, her lip twitching.
Roxy, when did this happen, darling?
Outside the cell, Mary Sunshine makes notes. Roxy glances around, a sly smile playing on her lips. Now a police wagon drives along a street. In a hospital, a white-coated doctor steps out of an examining room. Billy glimpses a naked Roxy inside.
Well, Doc, is she here, isn't she?
She is.
Would you swear to that statement in court?
Yes.
Good. Button your fly.
Now Mama Morton pushes Roxy in a wheelchair, Billy at her side. Snow falls on the crowd of reporters gathered outside the hospital entryway.
I would just like to say that, well, my own life doesn't matter now, just that of my unborn child.
Poor dear, to have your baby born in jail. My readers won't stand for it.
I can assure you that won't happen. We'll come to trial the earliest possible moment. You can quote me on that.
I think it's sweet. First time we ever had one of our girls knocked up.
Amos jostles through the crowd.
Roxy! Hey, Roxy! 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 I just heard the good news! I'm the father!
Hey, Roxy, who's the father?
That question is completely out of line. How dare you insult this brave young woman? That's enough. Brother.
Billy pushes the wheelchair.
Roxy, honey!
She climbs into the police wagon.
Roxy, I came as soon as I could! Rox!
The wagon drives away. Now in a theater, Amos paints blue triangles under his eyes and ruches his cheeks. Wearing a hobo's tattered clothes, he sways side to side.
If someone stood up in a crowd and raised his voice up way out loud and waved his arm and shook his leg, you'd notice him. If someone in the movie show yelled, "Fire in the second row! This whole place is a powder keg!" you'd notice them. And even without clucking like a hen, everyone gets noticed now and then. unless, of course, that personage should be invisible, inconsequential me.
He puts on a battered derby hat.
Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, should I bend my name, Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there. I tell ya, cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, should I bend my name, Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there.
Now in Billy's office.
Oh, I didn't see you. Sit down.
Amos sits at Billy's desk.
Look, Andy, I'm afraid I gotta hit you hard. I can only hope that you'll be big about it.
Amos. My name is Amos.
Who said it wasn't? Oh, it was the kid. The kid's name I was thinking about. Yeah. You know when she's due? September. Oh, but pass out those cigars anyway. I don't want you to give a damn when people...
People what?
Laugh.
Laugh? Why would they laugh?
Because they can count. Can you count? September.
Furrowing his brow, Amos narrows his eyes.
Here's a copy of Roxy's first statement from the DA's office. It says she hadn't copulated with you for 4 months prior to the incident.
Well, she would know. Yeah, I guess we hadn't done no copulating since... Wait a minute. That don't figure out right. I couldn't be the father.
Well, forget about that now. My client needs your support.
You mean she needs a meal ticket? That's all I ever been, but this time she's gone too far.
What are you gonna do? Divorce her?
You're damn right! I'll divorce her! She probably won't even notice.
Billy picks up the phone.
Yeah, put him through.
A human being's made of more than air. With all that bulk, you're bound to see him there. Unless that human being next to you is unimpressive, undistinguished, you know who.
Yeah, I'm still here.
He grabs his hat.
I think.
On stage, he puts it on his head.
Should I bend my name, Mr. Cellophane? 'Cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know.
Didn't take up too much of your time.
He leaves Billy's office. Now at the jail, Roxy storms up to Billy holding a shapeless black dress.
I've been waiting here for 10 minutes. Don't do that again.
This dress makes me look like a Woolworth's lampshade. I'm not wearing this.
You're wearing it because I tell you to wear it.
I'm not wearing this dress.
And when Andy's on the stand, I want you to be knitting.
Knitting? Oh, for Christ's sake.
A baby garment.
I don't know how to knit.
Then learn.
That is no way to win a jury's sympathy.
Oh, you don't need advice anymore.
Look at here, Mr. Mouthpiece. It seems to me that I am the one who's coming up with the good ideas. I'm sick of everybody telling me what to do, and you treat me like dirt. You know that? You treat me like I'm some dumb common criminal.
But you are some dumb common criminal.
Well, it's better than being a greasy Mick lawyer.
Who happens to be saving your ass?
Who's out for all he can steal.
Maybe you'd like to appear in court without me.
Well, maybe I could. Have you read the morning papers? They love me.
Wise up. They love you a lot more if you're a hanged. You know why? Because they sell more papers.
You're fired.
Quit.
Any lawyer in this town would die to have my case.
You are a phony celebrity. You're a flash in the pan. In a couple of weeks, no one's going to give a shit about you. That's Chicago.
Later, a guard leads Roxy back to the cell block. She struggles from his grip. She approaches Velma.
What happened?
It's the honey egg. She lost her last appeal.
So what's that mean?
Well, that means that next week, she's gonna...
Velma runs her hand across her neck, then clenches her fist. Roxy's jaw drops. She looks up, seeing Mama gently leading the honeyuck across the catwalk. Now photographers gather outside the jail.
This is Mary Sunshine coming to you from the Cook County Jail, where history will be made today. Catalin Holinsky will become the first woman in the state of Illinois to be executed. And so, ladies and gentlemen...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your pleasure and your entertainment, we proudly present Catalin Holinsky and her famous Hungarian disappearing act.
On stage, a spotlight illuminates the hunyak, who wears a white ballerina costume. She waves her arm toward the audience, then steps onto a narrow ladder in the center of the stage. As she climbs slowly, the soft white light illuminates her thin arms and white fishnet stockings. Twirling onto a platform, she poses. Outside the jail, the hunyak steps onto a wooden gallows platform, her hands bound with rope. A police officer slips a noose over her neck. On stage, the hunyak fastens a noose around her waist. She smiles broadly to the audience. At the gallows, the crowd watches intently as she steps forward. Her black-heeled shoes slowly cross the wooden slats. On stage, she steps to the front of the platform, her arms raised behind her, her chin high. The theater audience watches with parted lips as the hunyak leans forward and swan dives off the platform. She falls through the gallows trap door. The theater audience leaps to its feet as the noose hangs empty above the stage. The hunyak's lifeless body dangles above the snowy ground. Inside the jail, Roxy looks out from an upstairs window. On the ground below, officers guide a simple coffin on a cart over the frozen ground. She watches them pass, then licks her lips and turns away. Later, she wears the black dress. Looking into a mirror, she adjusts its pleated white collar.
You know, it's really not that bad.
You clear about everything we agreed on?
Yep. I've been up all night rehearsing.
What do you do when Harrison starts coming after you?
I sit still and look straight ahead, never at the jury.
And?
And I look modest.
And?
And?
And say nothing.
That's right.
That was the deal, right?
Right.
Right. You ask me back, I do all the talking this time.
Absolutely, Billy. Whatever you say.
A man steps in.
His Honor's here.
Thank you.
He leaves.
You ready?
Yeah. Billy. I'm scared.
He cocks his head and smiles.
Don't be. I've been around a long time. Believe me, you got nothing to worry about. It's all a circus. A three-ring circus. These trials, the whole world, it's all show business. But kid, you're working with a star.
He leads her through the door. On the other side, circus acts perform in a courtroom.
Give them the old razzle-dazzle, razzle-dazzle. Give them an act with lots of flashing. And the reaction will be passionate. Give them the old hocus pocus, bead and feather rum. How can they see with sequins in their eyes? What if your hinges all are rusting? What if, in fact, you're just disgusting? Razzle dazzle them. and they'll never catch wise.
Reporters and photographers crowd the gallery of the real courtroom. Cameras flash as Roxy smiles coyly, batting her eyelashes.
Give them the old razzle dazzle.
Razzle dazzle them.
Give them a show that's so splendiferous. Row after row with row vociferous. Give them the old flim flam flummox. Fool and fracture them. How can they hear the truth above the roar?
Roar, roar, roar.
Row them a fake and off a niggle. They'll never know you're just a bagel.
Razzle dazzle them.
And they'll beg you for more.
I object.
Sustained.
Your Honor, I haven't even asked the question yet.
Circus performers snuggle up to the judge. Now a woman on a trapeze swings past and drops a tagged handgun to Billy.
Give them the old double whammy, days and dizzium. Back since the days of old Methuselah, everyone loves the big bamboozler. Give them the old three-ring circus. Stun and stagger 'em. When you're in trouble, go into your dad.
Amos takes the stand.
Though you are stiffer than a girder, they'll let you get away
with murder.
Razzle dazzle them, and you got a romance.
Hello, Amos.
Amos. That's right, Mr. Flynn. Amos.
Amos. When did you file suit for divorce?
A month ago.
Was there any reason for filing at this particular time?
Well, I'll say. The newspaper said Roxy was expecting a little stranger.
Well, that's hardly grounds for divorce, is it?
A little too much of a stranger.
Oh, by that you mean you doubted the paternity of the child?
Well, sure.
Tell me something, Amos. You share a bed with your wife?
Yes, sir, every night.
You expect this jury to believe that you slept next to this woman every night without exercising your rights as a husband?
Well, I could have if I wanted to.
Oh, but you didn't.
No, I did.
Did what?
Want to.
But you didn't.
Didn't what?
What you wanted.
Wait a minute, I'm getting confused here.
Hey, tell me, Hart, you tell me. Did you ever question Roxy herself? Did you even bother to ask her if you were the father of her child?
No, sir.
No, no. What? If you became convinced that you were wrong, you'd be mad enough to admit it, wouldn't you? You'd even be willing to take her back if Roxy swore that you were the father of her child, which she does.
She does?
Billy gestures to Roxy. She nods.
She does! She does! No more questions! You can step down now. Well done, Andy.
Oh, Roxy, I'm so sorry.
She avoids his gaze. Looking back, she stands and hugs him. Mary Sunshine gapes. Billy smiles smugly. Now, standing on the judge's bench, she swings a whip.
Give them the old razzle-dazzle. Razzle-dazzle them. Show them the first-rate sorcerer you are. Long as you keep them way off balance, how can they spot you got no talents? Razzle dazzle them.
Razzle dazzle them.
Razzle dazzle them.
This is the moment we've been waiting for. Roxy Hart finally takes the stand in her own defense.
And I'll make you a star.
Roxy sits on a large suspended ring. It lifts up toward the ceiling, then lowers her into the witness box.
Proceed, Mr. Flynn.
Roxy, I have here a statement in which you admit to having illicit relations with the deceased Fred Casely. Is this statement true or false?
I'm afraid that's true.
You're an honest girl, Roxy. When did you first meet Fred Casely?
When he sold Amos and me our furniture.
And your personal relationship with him, you tell the jury when that began?
When I permitted him to escort me home one night. I don't think I would have gone with him if Mr. Hart and me hadn't quarreled that very morning.
Quarreled?
Yes, sir.
Well, I suppose it was his fault.
Oh, no, sir. It was my fault. I suppose I just couldn't stop pestering him.
Pestering him? About what?
I didn't like him working those long hours at the garage. I wanted him home with me to darn his socks and iron his shirts. I wanted a real home and a child.
So you drifted into this illicit relationship because you were unhappy at home.
Yes.
Crossing her legs, she reveals her lacy garter.
Roxy Hart! The state has accused you of the murder of Fred Casely. Are you guilty or not guilty?
I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty. I killed him. I did, but I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal.
Billy hands her a handkerchief.
Yeah. Roxy. Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you recall the night of January 14th?
Uh-huh.
Could you tell the jury, in your own words, the happenings of that night?
Well, when Fred came over, I told him my good news.
What was that?
That me and Amos were going to have a baby. Mm. And then it was all over between us.
What happened then?
Well, then, then...
Did he threaten you, Roxy?
Objection, Your Honor. Counsel's leading the witness.
Sustained.
What did Casely say when you told him the news?
I'll kill you before I see you have another man's child.
Could you tell the audience, the jury, what happened next?
Well, in his passion, he tore off my robe and he threw me on the bed. And Mr. Hart's pistol was lying there between us.
And then?
And then we both reached for the gun, but I got it first. And then he came toward me with this funny look in his eyes. He was angry and wild.
Wild?
Wild.
And did you think he meant to kill you?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So it was his life or yours?
And not just mine. I closed my eyes and I shot.
In defense of your life.
To save my husband's innocent unborn child.
She collapses to the floor. As Billy crouches over her, she opens her eyes.
What a bullseye, huh?
She closes them. On tiptoe, Amos peeks over the crowd gathered around Roxy.
There's pandemonium here in the courtroom.
At the jail, Mama and Velma listen to the radio.
Mrs. Hart's behavior throughout this ordeal has been truly extraordinary.
Yeah, I bet it has.
Opening her eyes, she fans herself with her attorney's handkerchief.
Handkerchief?
The poor child has had no relief. She looks around now, bewildered, seeming to want something. Oh, it's a glass of water.
Oh, Mama, that was my bit. I told Billy I was going to do that at my trial.
But now her eyes flutter wildly, and she... Mrs. Hart has fainted again.
Oh,
she slumps over, her chiffon dress up around her knees, revealing a glimpse of a blue garter with a rhinestone buckle.
Oh, Mama, she stole my garter. She stole my garter!
Break my radio! First the slob steals my publicity, then she steals my lawyer, my trial date, now she stole my goddamn garter.
Well, what do you expect? I mean, these days you get a little success, and it's good riddance to the people who put you there.
She turns off the radio.
There ain't no justice in the world, and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
Nerds to that. You think I got you up here just so you can listen to my radio? People write some pretty interesting things when they think no one's looking.
Mama drops Roxy's diary onto her desk. Velma opens it. Later in the courtroom.
State calls a rebuttal witness.
The courtroom door is open, and Velma sashays in, clad in a fur-trimmed coat. She smiles as she walks past the photographers. Roxy gapes as Velma steps into the witness box.
Left hand on the Bible, raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God.
And then so.
Have a seat. Would you state your name for the record, please?
Velma Kelly.
Miss Kelly, will you please tell the court if the object I am holding is the one you happened to come upon in the defendant's jail cell?
Yes, it is.
I submit this as Exhibit X, Roxy Hart's diary.
I object! My client has never kept a diary. And even if she did, this would be invasion of privacy and violation of the Fourth Amendment and illegal search without a warrant.
Yeah, and she broke the lock.
Order! Order! Well, that settles that. I'll allow it.
What's the big deal?
Proceed, Mr. Harrison.
It's just a bunch of doodlings.
If you would read for us, please, Ms. Kelly.
I haven't worked in a while. What a laugh. Plug in Fred Casely. The big baboon had it coming. I'm just sorry I only got to kill him once.
I never wrote that. You. Hey, she made that.
Order! Order!
She made that
order!
Up. She made that
order!
Up.
Order! Please, Mr. Flynn, get control of your client.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, won't happen again. Sit down.
Shut
up. That's only making it worse.
I have no more questions.
Your witness, Mr. Flynn.
Ladies and gentlemen, a tap dance.
He steps toward Velma. On a stage, he steps into a blue spotlight.
Tell me, Miss Kelly, did you make a deal with Mr. Harrison? Maybe to drop all charges against you in exchange for testifying here today?
Well, sure. I'm not a complete idiot.
Good. Good. Yeah, since you gave such an impressive performance for Mr. Harrison, maybe you'd do me the same honor.
I'd be delighted.
Thank you.
Fred Casely assured me he'd get me an audition down at the Onyx. And then he reneged on his pledge, and that was my motive for attacking him.
Pretty fancy way of saying he was a big fat liar who welched on a deal, so I shot him. Amos accused me of having an affair, so I told him that the charge was erroneous.
Objection, Your Honor. Mr. Flynn is twisting this evidence to draw conclusions that are specious and,
erroneous?
Exactly.
He grins.
Order! Order!
Miss Kelly, do you know the meaning of the word perjury?
Yes, I do.
You also know that it's a crime?
Yes.
I mean, for example, if it turns out that you knew that this diary was a fake, I'd hate to think of you rotting away in prison for the next 10 years, especially since you just won your freedom.
Look, all I know is what I was told.
So, all right, so you didn't find this diary in Roxy's cell?
No. Mama, Miss Morton, gave it to me. She said someone had sent it to her.
Someone? Any idea who this mysterious benefactor might be?
No, she didn't know.
All right, let's see if we can work this out. Someone who writes about reneging on pledges and erroneous charges. Call me crazy. Doesn't that sound like a lawyer to you? A lawyer. A lawyer who obviously had a sample of my client's handwriting. Mr. Harrison, didn't you ask Roxy to write out a confession for you?
Yes, but you're not suggesting that I tamper with evidence, are you?
No. I would. Don't be ridiculous. No, that's thoroughly and utterly absurd. But now that you mention it.
Your Honor, this is outrageous.
It's outrageous, I know. Outrageous. You can suggest that the prosecutor would make a thieves bargain with a notorious Velma Kelly and then fabricate the very evidence and set her free.
Your Honor,
just
Velma
so we can win another case and move one step closer to the governor's mansion.
Governor's mansion.
Why, it's simply beyond all imagination.
I'll hold you in contempt.
No, it is not even conceivable. But if it were, wouldn't it be time to say, come clean, Mr. Harrison, come clean, even in Chicago. This kind of corruption cannot stand, will not stand.
That's enough.
Billy bangs the gavel.
I agree, Your Honor. It is enough. The defense rests.
Now around the city, people gather at radios.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mary Sunshine reporting live from the Cook County Courthouse. The city of Chicago has come to a complete standstill as the trial of the century finally draws to a close. Mrs. Hart sits quietly at the defense table, hands folded, wondering what fate has in store for her. And now a hush falls over the courtroom as the 12 men of the jury file slowly back to their seats.
Gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
In the courtroom.
We have, Your Honor.
The jury has reached a verdict.
Will defendant please rise?
The photographers are poised as Billy and Roxy stand.
What is your verdict?
We, the jury, find the defendant.
Outside the courthouse, one stack of newspapers reads guilty, another innocent. A man sits in a truck with the paper stacks. Gazing toward the courthouse, he sees someone wave a white cloth out a window. He tosses out an innocent stack. Pedestrians rush toward the newspaper hawker. Outside the courthouse, people run for cover and scatter into the street. On the steps, a slender woman stands over a man's body, a gun dangling from her hand. Another man's body lies nearby. As a police officer cuffs her, someone tramples over a discarded newspaper.
Come on, move!
moving.
First she shoots the husband, then she plugs the lawyer.
The reporters and photographers rush to the courthouse lobby. Roxy.
Hey! Hey, don't you want to take my picture? Hey, I'm the famous Roxy Hart. Hey, what happened? Billy, what the hell happened?
Billy smokes a cigar.
The Chicago kid. You can't beat fresh blood on the walls.
It's not my publicity, Billy. My name in the papers. I was counting on that.
Your gratitude is overwhelming, kid. I just saved your life.
Yeah, and you got $5,000, and what do I get? I get nothing?
Five? Actually, it's 10 once I collect from Velma.
I get nothing?
Mm. Oh, don't forget your blessed diary. Hope you don't mind. I added a few erroneous phrases in there. Sorry I couldn't tell you. Couldn't take a chance. Never lost a case. You're a free woman, Roxy Hart. And God save Illinois.
Watching him walk out, Roxy puts her hand on her hip, then storms to the window.
Roxy.
Amos sits alone at the end of a bench. Roxy turns and gives an expectant shrug.
What do you want?
Amos stands.
I want you to come home. You said you still wanted to. And the baby?
Baby, what baby? Oh, Jesus. What do you take me for? There ain't no baby.
There ain't no baby?
Smirking, Roxy shakes her head. Amos stares dejectedly.
They didn't even want my picture. I can't understand that.
As Roxy looks outside through the window blinds, Amos slumps away, dangling his derby hat at his side.
Why didn't they even want my picture?
As drops roll down the window pane, Roxy stares out. Reporters surround the slender woman as police officers lead her to a car.
It's good, isn't it grand? Isn't it great? Isn't it swell? Isn't it fun? Isn't it nowadays?
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Roxy Hart says good night.
Now on a dark stage, Roxy wears a black sequin gown slit up to the thigh.
There's men everywhere, jazz everywhere, booze everywhere, life everywhere, joy everywhere nowadays. You can like the life you're living, you can live the life you like, you can even marry Harry but mess
Light shrinks to light her face. Now, in an empty club, two men watch Roxy sing on a bare stage.
You can like the life you're living. You can live the life you like.
Didn't she kill a guy a while back?
Yeah, who can keep him straight anymore?
But mess around with Ike, and that's good, isn't it grand?
I'll be in touch.
You know, I'm not quite finished yet. I have
She taps the piano.
I could, just a second, I'm not...
The men leave.
God damn it! Thank you!
There's the music, huh?
The piano player hands her sheet music and walks away. Snatching up the music, Roxy's gaze follows him.
Thanks.
She fingers the wrinkled sheet music. At the rear of the stage, a man sweeps. Roxy steps down to the club. Smoke wafts from Velma's cigarette.
You know, you're really pretty good.
Roxy pauses.
Yeah, that and a dime.
Roxy grabs her coat.
What are you doing here? I heard you've been, making the rounds.
Yeah, well, if it was up to you, I'd be swinging by now.
Come on, I always knew Billy'd get you off. Oh. You should learn how to put things behind you.
Oh, thank you. I'll put that at the top of my list right after finding a job and an apartment with a John.
Just shut up and listen to me.
You really are something. Coming in here like some goddamn queen bee, all full of advice for a poor slob like me. Well, let me tell you something, Miss Velma Kelly. I got a new life. And one of the best things about it is it don't include you.
Fine. I just thought we could help each other out.
Well, you thought wrong, didn't you?
Velma grabs her arm. The music falls.
Look, I talked to this guy downtown. He said one jazz killer is nothing these days, but two.
As Velma collects the music, Roxy notices her tattered stocking. Velma covers up, then stands.
We can make a couple of hundred a week. Think about it, Roxy. Our faces back in the papers, our names on their marquee. Velma Kelly and Roxy Hart.
Shouldn't it be alphabetical?
That could work.
Come on, Red. Maybe we could ask for a thou.
We're worth it.
Forget it. It'll never work.
Why not?
Because I hate you.
There's only one business in the world where that's no problem at all.
Roxy lingers near the door and turns back. Now on stage in a large packed theater, Velma and Roxy rise to the top of a staircase.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Chicago Theater is proud to announce a first. The first time anywhere there's been an act of this nature. Not only one little lady, but two. You've read about them in the papers, and now here they are, Chicago's own killer dealers. Those scintillating sinners, Roxy Hart and Velma Kelly.
They wear shiny white coats.
You can like the life you're living. You can live the life you like. You can even marry Harry, but mess around with Ike.
They wink.
And that's good. Isn't it grand? Isn't it great? Isn't it swell? Isn't it fun? Isn't it? But nothing stays. In 50 years or so, it's gonna change, you know. But
jazz, let's pick up the pace. Let's make the parties longer. Let's make the skirts shorter. Let's all go to hell in a fast car and keep it hot.
Roxy and Velma pull off their long coats, revealing short fringed dresses. Pivoting toward the audience, they kick their legs up in a Charleston. They slap their thighs, then strut in a circle. With their palms toward the audience, they move with tiny steps from side to side. They travel across the stage in exaggerated backward steps, then wave their arms high toward the ceiling, then low near their knees. The lights dim and two hats flip up from the front of the stage. Spotlights shine down as they lift the hats to their heads and give them a tip. In unison, they remove the hats and draw them in circles over their hips. Twirling the hats, they dance across the stage and disappear behind the curtain. Strutting back on stage, Velma and Roxy carry white, satin-trimmed machine guns. In the audience, Billy smiles and shakes his head. Gripping their weapons, Roxy and Velma lean from side to side and flip their guns behind their backs. In a Charleston, they sling the guns out in front. Guns at a tilt, they sidle back and forth, then gallop across the stage, aiming at the audience. Turning, they face a backdrop of lights behind them. As they pretend to shoot, light bulbs on the backdrop go out. The remaining lights spell out Roxy and Velma. Leaving their guns center stage, they step to opposite sides, then cartwheel to the center. Grabbing the guns, they pose. The audience leaps to their feet. On stage, Roxy and Velma lock elbows. Flashbulbs illuminate them. Roxy and Velma bow. Velma prances across the stage collecting roses from the audience. In the crowd, Mama cheers. Velma puts her arm around Roxy.
Me and Roxy!
Roxy blows a kiss. Joining hands, Roxy and Velma bow.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Now credits appear over a montage of dance scenes. Credits. Directed by Rob Marshall. Screenplay by Bill Condon. Produced by Martin Richards. Executive producers Craig Zaden, Neil Maron, Sam Crothers, Bob Weinstein, Harvey Weinstein, Meryl Poster, Julie Goldstein, and Jennifer Berman. Renee Zellweger as Roxy Hart. Catherine Zeta-Jones as Velma Kelly. And Richard Gere as Billy Flynn. Now a title appears, spelled out in strings of light. Chicago. Queen Latifah as Matron Mama Morton. John C. Reilly as Amos Hart. Lucy Liu as Kitty Baxter. Tay Diggs as the band leader. Colm Feore as Harrison. Christine Baranski as Mary Sunshine. Dominic West as Fred Casely. Maya Harrison as Mona. Deirdre Goodwin as June. Denise Fay as Annie. Ekaterina Chelkanova as the Hunyuk. And Susan Meisner as Liz. Music by John Kander. Lyrics by Fred Ebb. Director of Photography, Dion Beebe, ACS. Production designer, John Meyer. Editor, Martin Walsh. Costume designer, Colleen Atwood. Choreographed by Rob Marshall. Production manager, Joyce Cozy King. First assistant director, Myron Hofert. Second assistant director, Grant Lucibello. Co-producer, Don Carmody. Choreographic supervisor, John DeLuca. Associate choreographers, Cynthia Orubia and Joey Pisi. Assistant choreographer, Denise Fay. Theatrical lighting design, Jules Fisher and Peggy Eisenhower. Music supervised and conducted by Paul Bogave. Original score music by Danny Elfman. Additional score adaptations and dance music arrangements by David Crane. Executive music producers, Rick Wake and Randy Spendlove. Music supervisor, Maureen Crow. Based on the musical play, Chicago. Directed and choreographed for the stage by Bob Fosse. Book of the musical play by Bob Fosse and Fred Ebb. Produced on the stage by Robert Fryer, James Cresson, and Martin Richards, in association with Joseph Harris and Ira Bernstein. Lyrics and music published by Unichapel Music, Incorporated. Based on the play by Maureen Dallas Watkins, a producer Circle Company production, a Zayden Marin production, a Miramax Films production, a Miramax Films presentation. Cast: Cliff Saunders as stage manager, Jane Eastwood as Mrs. Bruskowitz, Bruce Beaton as police photographer, Roman Podora as Sergeant Fogarty, Rob Smith as newspaper photographer, Sean Wayne Doyle as reporter, Steve Behal as prison clerk, Robbie Rocks as prison guard, Cheetah Rivera as Nikki, Joey Pizzi as Bernie, Scott Wise as Ezekiel Young, Ken Ard as Wilbur, Mark Calamia as the Hunyuk's husband, Nikki Ray as Veronica, Greg Mitchell as Charlie, Sebastian Lacoz as Al Lipschitz, Brendan Wall as Billy's assistant, Cleve Asbury as Gun Reporter Number 1, Rick Negron as Gun Reporter Number 2, Sean Amiot as Gun Reporter Number 3, Eve Crawford as Billy's secretary, Bill Corsair as newsreel announcer, Bill Britt as auctioneer, Gary Fiorini as sailor, Elizabeth Law as perfume lady, Joseph Scorin as Harry, Monique Ganderton as Bear Woman Number 1, April Morgan as Bear Woman Number 2, Martin Moreau as groin reporter, Conrad Dunn as doctor, Cleve Asbury as hospital reporter, Jonathan Whitaker as bailiff, Rod Campbell as jury foreman, Brett Caruso as Harrison's assistant, Sean McCann as judge, Jeff Clark as court clerk, Patrick Salvagna as newsboy, Catherine Zenna as woman shooter, and Jeff Pustill as club owner. Female dancers: Roxanne Barlow, Joey Dowling, Melanie Gage, Michelle Johnson, Charlie King, Marianne Lamb, Vicky Lambert, Tara Nicole, Cynthia Onrubia, Karine Planta Di Baggio, Jennifer Savelli, Natalie Wills, Karen Andrew, Kelsey Chase, Teresa Coombe, Lisa Ferguson, Melissa Florangel, Michelle Galati, Sherry Godfrey, Brittany Gray, Karen Holness, Amber Kelly McAreth, Jody Lynn McFadden, Faye Rao, Rhonda Roberts, Lee Torledge, and Robin Wong. Male dancers, Sean Amyot, Ken Ard, Cleve Asbury, Ted Benfalvi, Harrison Beale, Paul Becker, Mark Calamia, Jean-Luc Cote, Scott Fowler, Igar Godineau, Billy Hartung, Sebastian Lacoz, Darren Lee, Troy Liddell, Blake McGrath, Greg Mitchell, Robert Montano, Rick Negron, Sean Palmer, Desmond Richardson, Martin Samuel, Jason Sermonia, Jeff Siebert, Sergio Trujillo, and Scott Wise. Cast recordings, produced by Rick Wake and Randy Spendlove. Vocal arranger, Paul Bogave. Orchestrations, Doug Besterman. Razzle Dazzle Orchestration, Michael Starobin. Drummer, Perry Cavari. Musicians, trumpet, Derek Watkins. Trombone, Pete Beechill. Tuba, Owen Slade. Violin soloist, Chris Garrick. Piano, David Hartley. Double bass, Paul Morgan. Drums, Perry Cavari. Banjo and jazz guitar, Mitch Dalton. Percussion, Gary Kettle. Reed 1, soprano and alto sax and clarinet, Jamie Talbot. Reed 2, soprano and baritone sax and clarinet, Stan Saltzman. Reed 3, tenor and baritone sax, clarinet and bass clarinet, Alan Barnes and Ray Swinfield. Original score music written and produced by Danny Elfman. Music editor for Danny Elfman, Ellen Siegel, MPSC. Assistant original score music editors, Ann Pope and Shai Rauzo. Original score music published by Miramax Films Music, BMI. Original score music conducted by Steve Bartek. Orchestrations by Steve Bartek and Bruce Fowler. Original score music recorded and mixed by Dennis Sands. Overture and All That Jazz. When You're Good to Mama. Funny Honey. Cell Block Tango. All I Care About is Love. Chicago. We Both Reached for the Gun. Roxy. I Can't Do It Alone. Me and My Baby. Mr. Cellophane. Razzle Dazzle. Nowadays, Hot Honey Rag. Nowadays, and All That Jazz end credits, and I Move On. Music by John Kander, lyrics by Fred Ebb. Published by Unichapel Music Incorporated, BMI. Raisin' the Roof, written by Dorothy Fields and Jimmy McHugh. Published by AD Music Company and BMI Music Publishing, ASCAP. Tap Dance, written and performed by Perry Cavari. Exit Music, music by John Kander. Dedicated to Bob Fosse, Gwen Verdon, and Robert Fryer. Copyright 2002, Kalis Productions. Two logos, the Producer Circle Company and Miramax Films. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH, read by Peter Haydu.